Long drive, about 14 hours, 13. Well, that's long enough. So we need to pray for Marlena tomorrow, amen, as she travels and goes back to Victorious Christian Harvesters. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'm going to be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'm going to be changed. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's pray for Marlena. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for Marlena. I thank you for the call that is upon her life. I thank you for this time that we have had her home to fellowship with her. And Father, I pray for your protection as she goes back to Laredo, back to Nuevo Laredo tomorrow. Father, I thank you that every part of her car functions properly in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that no weapon that's formed against her will prosper, that she will have clear highways, that the angels of God are going about, going before her and behind her, that the angels are surrounded about her vehicle. I pray, Father God, that she would stay alert in the name of Jesus, that she would not become sleepy, and Father God, that she would just dwell on you and that you would minister your life and your love to her tomorrow as she goes. When she gets there, pray for supernatural rest and supernatural strength so that she can get right back in and do what she's called to do. And we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, a few weeks ago, on a Sunday evening, I preached on purpose. What is your purpose? And if some of you remember, I argued with God for a day and a half about that service. Even up until 3 o'clock that afternoon, I was saying, but God, this is a Sunday night group. And this is such a simple message that our grandson could deliver it. And so why am I doing this? Well, I just couldn't get away from it. So I delivered the message on purpose. I think people were ministered to. And then he began to deal with me in developing this, fulfilling your purpose. And so over the next few times that I'm in the pulpit, tonight and next Sunday and possibly the next, because next Sunday evening we will not have service, and evening service. We will have service next Sunday, not evening. And then the next Sunday we will have a picnic during the evening service. So he's just developed this fulfilling your purpose. And as I was praying, I said, God, where is this headed? Where is this fulfilling your purpose? It seems to me that this church knows what our purpose is, and that is to obey God. But when we fulfill the purpose and do what we're supposed to do, then it's headed for the glory of God in this place. Amen? But we're going to have to do what he says to do. We're going to have to get our hearts right. God has been dealing with me about getting back to the basics. We have known all the formulas. We have known all the things to say. We have known all the right confessions. We have known it all. But it's time to get back to the basics, and let's worship him and believe him and do what we're supposed to do in the kingdom of God. Amen? So this seems simple to me, but it's time for us to get back, because the rubber is getting met ready to meet the road. Amen? It already is. And we have got to be ready. You know, I've read prophecies, I've heard of prophecies, that this is the year of glory. Well, you know, the glory is not just going to come in here and fall if we're not prepared for it. You and I have a part to play in the presence and the glory of God. We have a part to play when we come into this place and expect souls, miracles, and restoration. We have a part to play. We can't just go out here and go through life throughout the week lollygagging around and doing our own thing and not spending any time in worship to him and expect to come in and have miracles and souls saved and people restored unto Jesus and to relationships and everything else. There is a price to pay. I've heard many people say, oh, I just wish I had that gift that Sister Mary Fran had. She paid a price. For years, she paid a price, 8 hours a day. For 3 years, 8 hours a day, she did nothing. But nothing for 8 hours every day for 3 years except spend in the presence of God. So there's a price to pay. You can't just go home, put your Bible on the table, and pick it up Sunday morning and come to church and expect these things to happen in our midst. Why do they happen in Africa? Why do they happen in Honduras? Why do they happen in Mexico? We're going to get to that. Amen? So a few weeks ago, I said, what is our purpose? Many of you have asked, why am I here? Why do I exist? What am I doing? Well, first of all, you're here because God created you. If you believe in God, you will say amen to that statement. And we're not here to just wander aimlessly through life, not wanting to get up in the morning because we don't know what we're doing, just wandering aimlessly through life, and wherever life leads us, we will go. Whatever life has for me, okay, it may be good, it may be bad. No, that's not true. God has a plan and a purpose. He knew you before you were ever even created in your mother's womb. He has destiny for each and every one of us. In Isaiah 44:2, it says that God is our creator and that we were in his care before we were even born. So when we have direction, when we have purpose, then we will have focus. And we'll know exactly where we're headed. How many of you want the presence of God in this place, which is conducive for souls, for miracles, and for restoration? Amen. I do. Why? So we can see the blue field? No. Because there's a people out here that's lost and dying and on their way to hell. And you know, years ago, Karen Lee Mosley was here. She's the prayer lady, remember? And she said, people are going to come to this place because the presence of God is here. The presence of God is here and it's going to change lives. She said, it's not because the music is so great. It's not because the preaching is so great. She went on to say, even though it is, they're going to come because the presence of God is going to touch them and change lives. This morning when I called this young lady out, I've known her. I've known her since she was a little girl. She and Gail used to play together. We went to the same church as her family. Wonderful people. Why did God have me minister to her? I don't know. I haven't seen her. I saw her a few months ago after Pastor's death in Penny's. I hardly recognized her. And she came up to me, hey, how are you? How's Gail? I hugged her. I don't know what's going on in her life, but God knew. God knew this morning just to encourage her and tell her that she's turned a corner. I don't know what that means, but hopefully she does. But you know, just because you know some things in the natural, it's time for us to obey God and get back to doing what he's asked us to do. Focus. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've just lost my focus? I hear it a lot. I just don't know what I'm doing, Pastor Lenore. I just lost my focus. Well, get back on your focus. Your focus is God. I'll tell you that. It's a three-letter word. God. They're saying that they really don't even know what their plan is in their life. They don't know where they're headed. Confusion sets in, doubt sets in, and then they don't know why they're even here. So purpose will give us meaning. It will simplify our life. It will prepare us for an eternity with God, and it will keep us focused. That's what purpose will do. All of those things. So in a nutshell, our purpose is to obey God. Oh, well, we've heard this a million times before. You know what? You're going to hear it at least three or four more sermons from me. Because I'm getting ready to preach. So the title of this sermon today is Fulfilling Your Purpose / Worship. Tonight is Fulfilling Your Purpose / Fellowship. And then we're going to go to evangelism and discipleship and prayer. And I don't know what else we're going to go to because I don't have it all together yet. But that's how God has been dealing with me on fulfilling our purpose. And it's all about obeying God. Amen? That's our purpose, is to obey him. And then it's headed somewhere. Matthew 22:37. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and great commandment. Your desire should be to obey him. No matter what the cost. We've already preached on servanthood. We've preached on humility. But when we have purpose and you know and understand why you exist, and you will understand why you were placed here, and you'll understand why you were born. Not just to wander through life aimlessly, but there'll be purpose for that. You'll have direction, you'll be motivated, and you'll have a reason to get up in the morning. Amen? Look at Acts 2:42. All when you have purpose. You wonder why people just lay around, don't get out of bed? They don't have any purpose. They don't have any direction in their life. Well, I'm telling you now what your purpose is. So you can't lay around anymore and say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, I'm telling you, your purpose is to obey God. Amen? So now there's no excuse. Amen? Amen. No excuse. Acts 2:42. This is the state of the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen? So we're talking in verse 47, praising God. They were worshiping God. What do you think of? If I were just to go randomly through the congregation and say, what do you think of when you think of worship? Just real quick. A lot of us would say, coming together at 10:15, raising our hands, closing our eyes, two fast songs, three so songs, da 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 da. Right? What do we call it? We call it a worship service. Right? How many of you would have said that if I just said briefly, what do you think of? Okay, there's some that are honest. So that's what I think of when I think of worship. It's just praising Him through music. It's more than that. Look at Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Worship is simply to love God. And if we don't love God, then it's going to be difficult to come into the worship service and lift our hands and worship Him the way He desires to be worshiped and the way we need to express our worship unto Him. If we do not put Him first in our lives, then we can't come in here and worship Him and create an atmosphere for souls, miracles, and restoration. Amen? It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. We can do all of the right things, but if we don't do this first, if we don't really love God the way we're supposed to love Him and the way He deserves our worship, then we can come to church and we can go out the same way that we came in. None of our needs will be met. Exodus 20, turn there if you would. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. Exodus 20, verse 3. This is a part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Uh-oh. Well, Pastor Lenore, you could have gone all day without having to say that. Well, I didn't say it. The Bible did. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, what are gods? Well, I don't have these little, fat little, you know, clay things before me in my house. Well, God could be a TV. It could be sports. It could be education. It could be family. It could be golf. It could be fishing. Shall I stop? It could be anything that you put before your love for Jesus. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with football. We're advertising a football game for the men to come together in fellowship. And that's very, very important. You'll see tonight about fellowship. That's very important. But if it consumes you and if it comes before God, then it is wrong. If it comes before God, then it is a God with a little G in your life. Amen? You know, the very things that have helped to make America great has hindered America to a great extent. I've been to 17 nations in the world. America by far is the greatest country I have ever set foot in. It is. We have more technology. We have more stuff that's available to us. Our education systems are great. We have everything that life has to offer. I know. I've been to countries. And the very thing that has made America great sometimes has been our greatest hindrance. Why? Because it's taken away us away from our first love. It's taken us away from a God who created us to worship Him. And we have allowed it to happen. We have allowed it to happen. We have a choice. Oh, but Pastor Lenore, times have changed. You're right, they have. You know, I'm almost 50-something, seven. What'd you say? Yeah, 52. I'm almost 52. Been there, done that one. I'm almost 57 years old, and times have changed since I was a teenager. But you know what? This is the same Word of God. The standard of the Word of God has never changed. Oh, but now, you know, we have to wear blouses with our belly hanging out or something else hanging out or our pants down so low that something else is hanging out because that's fashionable. But, you know, it's not very godly. I get tired of looking at it. And you can be godly without wearing those kinds of things. You might as well have a sign on you, teenagers, some of you, that said, "Here I am, I'm available, let's hop in the back seat." You're just advertising yourself. And I've said this before, and parents, why do you let your kids dress like that? You're the parent, they're not. You can be fashionable and godly and popular. Take a stand. Take a stand. It's all about loving God. Amen? Look at Romans 12:1. That wasn't even in my notes. I have to watch it. I'll get off on that. 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We must present our bodies, what it says here, a living sacrifice, which is holy, which is acceptable unto God. We can't get so busy with the things of the world or get so busy working for God. And that's easy to happen, I know. That we can't express our love to Him through worship. We need to worship Him. We need to live in an attitude of worship all the time. Don't let the cares of the world come in and choke the Word. And it will happen, believe me. Even though you're doing good things, you can get so busy. I've told you that the thing I have to fight for is to fight for time in the Word of God. Why? Because everybody wants you. You can get so busy with the works of the ministry. You can get so busy doing good things. You can get so busy doing the right things for God that you forget about worshiping Him and telling Him how amazing He is. That He is an awesome God. That God, I thank You that You're my all in all. I love You, Lord. Oh, but it's not so hard for us to do that in natural relationships. I was a teenager a long time ago. I know. Oh, my boyfriend, he is awesome. I adore him. I would lay my life down for him. I would do anything for him. Oh, He is just unreal. I worship Him. Come on. How many of you have done that? Just me? Come on. No, we all have. Haven't we? Oh, my husband, my wife, I adore him. Especially when he brings me flowers. I just adore him. I just worship him. How many times do we tell the Lord God that during the day? How many times do we tell the Lord Jesus? We get up in the morning to that alarm clock, get on our sweatpants, out the door, down the street, walking come home, change our wet sweatpants, go out to work out, come home, get ready, and here we're at work and everybody's pulling on you. Hello, I'm talking about me. We have to make time. We have to make that time. Give him the first fruits of your day. I purpose to get up earlier, and that's kind of early for me because I get up early anyway. And just to worship him. Just to worship him. Tell him, Lord, I adore you. I love you. You are so wonderful. I thank you for who you are. I thank you. You haven't given me flowers, but you've given me life. I thank you, Lord, for that. I worship you. Why is it that it is so easy for us to tell natural people, relationship-wise, those kinds of things, but when it comes to our Creator, we get in that routine and it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and we don't take the time to worship Him and magnify Him and let Him know of our love for Him. It should just be a natural thing when we get up in the morning. Lord, I worship you. For two nights this week, I've just gone to bed. I've been so frustrated. I thought, Lord, I'm just going to go to bed. I just found myself praying in the Holy Ghost until I just fell asleep. Wake up in the morning, you know, it's like I didn't have a care in the world. Why? Because I just worshiped Him. Just worship. But we get so busy with things that we forget to do that, or we don't take the time to do it. Why? Oh, well, God is always there. Do you know what? God is real. He desires just as much as you want your spouse to say, I love you. He wants to hear those words from every one of us. I love you, God. I thank you. When you do something good for your children, not for your children, what do you expect? A thank you. Look at what God has done for us. But we get in such a routine of life. We get in such a rut. We get in all wrapped up with the cares and all about our work and everything that we forget to worship Him. But then we come into church on Sunday morning and, whew, I'm glad this, oh. I worship you. I worship you. Do we? God, why are we seeing so saved? Because we're running around like a chicken with our head cut off during the week and then come into this place and give Him the last fruits of our week. And we wonder why we don't see healings. We wonder why we don't see miracles. We wonder why people aren't drawn to this place. Because we have to create an atmosphere for Him. And it starts with every one of us. It starts with Patrick. It starts with Dean. It starts with Deloitte. It starts with Norman. It starts with me. It starts with every one of us and our own prayer closet at home with God. And then when we come together corporately, watch out. His presence will fill this place. And we will have created an atmosphere for souls, restoration, and miracles. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, whatever is on the inside of us is going to come out. The Bible speaks of that in Matthew 12. Look at that. I know that some of you spend time. I had a phone call this week. It just blessed me. This lady called and she said, Lenore, I've just been in the presence of God. And I thought, hallelujah, I was studying that right then. And she said, I'm just obeying God. That's the only reason I'm calling. I'm just obeying God. He just told me that that everything is okay with you. Wanted me to just encourage you. She was in the presence of God. She heard from God. That's all she said. We didn't chit-chat. That was it. So I know that many of you are in the presence of God on a daily basis. But I encourage you, all of us, to be that way. Amen? Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. Do we tell Him daily that we love Him? Do we tell him how thankful we are for him? Do we thank him for the life that we have because of him? What are we talking about? What do we go throughout our day talking about? Do we give him the first fruits of our day? It's all about worship. Matthew 4:10. Turn back to chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 10. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. God wants worshipers, not just on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. He wants people who love him. And then, once we have that love for him, then we can minister to the harvest. We can be servants, and we can minister to those who come in who are hurting. And people, it's getting ready to happen. God is going to draw people into this place that don't know about the things of God. He's going to draw people into this place that have been places where Patrick has been, where what he was talking about this morning and ministering to us about. It's only by the grace of God that Patrick Loader is here today to share with us, because he had a contract on his life. Those are the kinds of people that are going to be drawn, but they're not going to come if they don't see any difference between us and them. They're not going to come if they can't see that this is a different place, that we are a different people. The Bible tells us to come out from among the world and to make ourselves separate. You know, once we get saved, we need to let the people see that we are different, that we have turned our back on that sin, and we're walking in a straight and narrow path. And then they're going to come in, and they're going to want what we have. They're going to come in, and they're going to sense, they're going to say, something is different about your church. Every time I come in, I just weep. I don't know what it is. Well, it's just the presence of God. But we're not going to have that atmosphere unless we have an attitude of worship in our own prayer closets every day. Not Saturday night before Sunday. Oh, we better get things right real quick because we're getting ready to go to church. You know, we don't have confessional booths here. You confess every day. Amen? And walk right before our God. The cares of the world, Mark 4:19 says that the cares will come in and choke out the word. What is a care? It's anything that's a distraction. It could be worry. It could be TV. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. Hopefully not, but it could be. It could be your children. It could be their sports. Anything that is a distraction that takes you away from that intimacy with God is a care. That's what care is. It's a distraction. It could be exercise. You know, this week, I usually have my little routine, and my little routine was interrupted for a couple of evenings. And I had things to do, bills to pay, and things to do that I had planned on doing that evening. And so my routine the next morning was interrupted. I couldn't go and work out. Why? Because I had those other things to do, natural things, before I could come to work. So see, distractions will come to you. That's why you have to purpose. And I would suggest to get in your prayer closet at a certain time every day. Well, I already get up at 5:30. Well, get up at 5:15 and just spend 15 minutes with him. And it will create such a hunger and a thirst within you that soon you'll be getting up at 5 and you won't even miss that time. Then you'll want to come home, and instead of eating lunch, then I just want to be in his presence and worship him and magnify him. It's just getting before him. And then as you do, and as you worship and magnify him and worship, then it will create such a thirst and a hunger in you that you can't get enough of him. It's just like boyfriend, girlfriend. Oh, I can't wait till school is out. I get to spend time with my girlfriend. I can't wait till Saturday. We get to have a date. I can't wait till Sunday. They get to come to church with me. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. That should be our cry for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait to get up in the morning so I can spend time with him. I can't wait to come home at noon where it's just quiet so I can get in my prayer closet and worship and magnify him and allow his presence to come in my life. I can't wait to get home in the evening and spend time with him before I go to bed. That should be our cry. And when we all do that and come together corporately, then we're going to have his presence. Amen? And it's all about purpose. It's all about purpose and what our purpose is. He wants worshipers. Look at Deuteronomy 6. Verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Oh, there we are in the Old Testament now, saying the same thing. So when are we going to get it? Oh yeah, I love God. You spent time with Him lately? Oh yeah, I went to church Sunday. Oh. Do you love God? Oh yeah, I love Him. Do you go to church? Are your kids in Sunday school? Oh, no. It makes just such a long day if I have to get up and bring them to discipleship. Or give me a break. I was not born yesterday. Yeah, you'll send them to school from 7:30 to whenever, and they're taking in all kinds of stuff, and they can't come to discipleship hour for an hour and get out of church at noon? Oh, come on. I was born a long time ago, but I wasn't born under a rock. Amen. You know, sometimes people say the silliest things instead of saying, no, we don't come. Well, you should. It's a part of worshiping Him. It's a part of learning and a part of that thirst and that hunger for Him. Awana is starting up. And parents, I would encourage you to get your children into Awana because it is a wonderful tool for them to grow spiritually. Get them into discipleship hour from 9 to 10 on Sunday morning. It's a wonderful tool for them to grow spiritually and for them to form relationships. We're going to talk about tonight. It's a wonderful tool. Don't wait until they get into high school and then they have all kinds of problems and you're wondering, where did I go wrong? A lot of times I can tell you because I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Parents, we have to rise up and be the parents. We can't let our children have everything that they want because they want fleshly things. Oh, I don't want to go to church. You know, I talked to our little granddaughter the other day. They'd been to a circus and they were so excited. They called me on their way home. And so I talked to Lexi. She's a 4-year-old. And I said, Lexi, did you go to the circus? Yes. And I said, did you do gymnastics today? I don't want to do gymnastics anymore. I said, what? I don't want to do gymnastics anymore. So Amanda got on the phone, and I said, Lexi said she didn't want to do gymnastics. Well, she's going to. She's not going to sit around and be a bum. I've already paid for the next 6 weeks, and if she finishes that, then she's going to do something because she's not just going to sit around, she said. I thought, you go, girl. See, we can't just let our kids do whatever they want to do. Get them into things of God so that they can learn to worship Him. So that they can sense and know His presence. Because hard times are going to come to them. And they're going to need to know how to cry out to Him. They're going to have to know how to hear His voice. And to obey Him. Amen? Amen. Look at Deuteronomy 11:1. Therefore, again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. Look at Deuteronomy 30:16. In that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land, whether thou goest to possess it. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. It's simply worshiping Him. Simply worshiping Him. Worship will happen when we surrender ourselves to God. When Jesus is worth enough for us to put Him first in our lives, then we'll come together in this place. His presence will fall. And there will be an atmosphere conducive for restoration, miracles, and souls. When we love Him enough to put Him first in our lives, then the glory of God is going to come and we will bask in His presence. But we've got to come with a heart that is already prepared. You know, you need to come in this place on a Sunday morning so pumped up and so excited, not leave it up to the preacher to get you that way. I know that we have been praying for weeks now for when Brother Patrick came. And look what happened. Around 70 people in the place, even from other churches, that came, brought their teenagers, because they knew he had a word of God for them today. But we've been praying. It was an anointed service. People were changed. People were set free. Psalm 34:3 tells us to worship is to magnify God. That's what we're to do. We don't just go through the motions. We've got to have a heart, saints, that desires Him. We've got to have a heart that loves Him and a heart that is fixed upon Him. Doesn't matter what is happening around us. A lot of times it's easy for us to come to Him in a time of crisis. But, you know, then we don't know what to do. That's when we magnify Him and worship Him and are consistent in our worship to Him, that when those crises hit, hey, we're going to be steadfast. Larry Rice is steadfast. Mark and Chris are steadfast. Why? They're not just out there fretting because Daddy's not feeling good. They're praying and believing in faith for another miracle in his life. Amen? They're founded in God. And that's the way we've all got to be. You know, I don't know how many times my phone rings. Hello, I know it's late, but can I see you right now? Nope, can't. Well, that just sounds kind of harsh, Pastor. I thought you were Pastor. You're right. Do you know what? A crisis on your part doesn't necessarily constitute an emergency on mine. Say, I love you, Pastor Lenore. It's true. Well, I've been going through this problem for about 6 months, and why aren't you in church? Why do you wait until 10 minutes before I'm supposed to go home, and you've got to come in right then? Sorry, I'm studying. I'm praying. Can't see you. Well, that's harsh. Maybe harsh. Get in church. Y'all are really looking at me. I think if you had tomatoes, I'd be dodging. But it's true. You want things to change in our lives? Then get a life of worship. You want things to change in your relationships? Then start worshiping God. Get in church. Draw from the Word of God. Spend time before Him. Enter into His presence. Let Him speak to you. Let Him talk to you. Amen. Let Him talk to you. He's your counselor. He's the one that's going to meet all of your needs. Yes, I can counsel you. Pastor Jeff can counsel you. Patrick can counsel you. Anybody can counsel you. But He's the one that's going to meet your needs. But you have something to say about it. Don't come in and get counsel and then we not see you for 6 months and then at 4:45... call and say, oh, we're going to see you. I've got this problem. I've had it for 6 months and I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? Another day is not going to hurt you. I'm serious. I know this sounds harsh. And you're thinking, what kind of woman are you? I'm just telling you. It's true. It's time for us to get things right with God in our own lives. It's time for us to have a lifestyle of worship. It's time for us to understand and know His presence. Yes, part of my duties are to counsel you, and I am open and I am willing to do that, but not only on certain days of the week. Why? Because I have a life too. And I have to spend time in this Word if I'm going to get up and try to feed you. So don't call me on Wednesday and Thursday expecting an appointment because you won't get one. It'll have to wait. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. And I want the best for you. But I'm not your source. Pastor Jeff is not your source. Only God is going to meet those needs. And it's going to happen when you come into His presence. When you love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And when you worship Him on a daily basis, is your need going to be met? And then when we come into this place and we're so full of God and we worship Him and we magnify Him through music and through praise and through worship, is He going to fill this place? And miracles and healings, the supernatural will take place. And Garden City, America, Word of Life Church, not Uganda, Africa, America. But there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Our heart has got to be fixed upon Him. Worship is loving God. It's just simply loving God. And when we do that, He's going to give us the strength to do whatever we need to do. Now, Calvin Coolidge said one time, it's only when men begin to worship that they begin to grow. It's only when men begin to worship that they begin to grow. Worship is simply having an intense love or admiration for. Do we really love God the way we need to love Him? Do we have an intense love for Him? Do we really admire Him the way we are supposed to? Or have we become familiar with Him? You can become familiar, you know, in natural relationships. Husbands and wives, if you're not careful, you can become familiar with each other and you find yourself living under the same roof and not having any communication. Oh, well, I didn't know we were going to get a marriage seminar this morning. Well, you may just get a mini one. You need to become so intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ that when He speaks to you, you hear His voice. You too, I could be upstairs, and if the door opened, I would know if it was a stranger or if it was pastor. Why? Because I knew His footsteps. And if it wasn't His footsteps, oh, now I was fishing for the gun. I knew it. I knew His footsteps. I knew His voice. He didn't have to call me on the phone and say, Lenore. I didn't have to say, who is this? I knew His voice. Why? Because I knew Him. I had an intimate relationship with Him. And if we want that kind of relationship with the Lord God, then we're going to have to pay the price. We're going to have to spend time with Him. We're going to have to fellowship with Him. We're going to have to have quality time with Him. We may not always have quantity. I know everyone is busy. I know that. I understand that. But what time we have, we're going to have to make it quality. Now, I told our children the other day, because our son-in-law is working about 80 hours a week at his job as a doctor. And I told Gail, I said, Gail, honey, you have to have quality. You may not have quantity. Oh, but when you have that day off, I said, you make the most of it. You have to have quality of time. And then we need to ask God, is there something in our life that we're doing that is really a care, that is a distraction, that we need to get rid of so that I can spend more time with You? You know, it's getting down, like I said, where the rubber meets the road. He is going to return. He's going to come for a people that's watching and looking for Him. He's going to come for a people that's holy, pure, spotless, without wrinkle or blemish. That's who He's going to return for. He's going to come for a people that's about the Father's business. Why are we having this Bible school? Well, it's not because we need something else to do. The other day in staff meeting, Brother Cole said, wow, we have a lot of stuff going on. It's not because we have an extra night that we just want to come teach you. It's because we've got to prepare. So that you can prepare others. Amen? Amen. When you worship God,
you will be fulfilled. Your love for Him will grow in a way that you never experienced and never really dreamed. What's on the inside will be manifest on the outside then when we come to corporate worship. You know, we're always looking for a way to be fulfilled. Fulfillment is going to come, saints, when we surrender our lives to Him totally and completely. Oh, well, I'm saved. But have you surrendered to Him? Have you surrendered every part of your day to Him? That's when fulfillment is going to come to us. It's when we have surrendered everything to Him. If the worship team would come, Jenny, I'd like for you to start playing I Surrender All. Now, the Bible tells us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That says that in John 4:23. Spirit simply means there in the Greek, soul, life, mind, heart. To worship Him with all of our soul, with all of our life, with all of our mind, with all of our heart. How many times have we read the scriptures this morning? To love the Lord thy God with all of thy spirit, with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all thy might. Worship is a key for a relationship, to a relationship with God. Worship is that key to a relationship with God. Psalm 24:3-5, write that down. You can look it up when we get home. God calls us to have a clean heart and pure hands, one that's single in purpose for such a time as this. You know, we can't continue on. I look at things in the world and it breaks my heart. And so much of it is the church's fault. Because we have watered down the gospel. Oh, just come any old way you want. It doesn't mind. It doesn't care if your belly's hanging out, your hind end's hanging out, and your uppers are hanging out. And I'm not talking about teeth. It doesn't mind. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Because you're coming into the presence of a holy God. There's a standard. There's a standard. And we're only going to be fulfilled when we can live a holy, acceptable life before Him. But there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. There's a world out here that is hurting, dying, on their way to hell. And I purpose in my heart, as Pastor did years ago, that we're going to preach the uncompromised Word of God if it's me and Him. We're not seeker-friendly. And we're not going to go seeker-friendly. God's not coming back for a seeker-friendly church that's afraid to mention the name Jesus. He's going to come back for a church that's pure, holy, spotless, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And are we ready? If He were to return in 10 minutes, are we ready? You will spend eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell. They are very real places. Don't think that you can wait. Believe me, you never know. Sometimes people come up to me and say, oh, I've missed you. And I want to say, where have you been? I've been here. Where you been? Well, Pastor Laura, you're just kind of rude. No, I'm not rude. I'm just being truthful. You've missed us so much, then why aren't you here? You've missed being in the presence of God so much, then why aren't you here? If we want the presence of God so much in our services, then why aren't we in our prayer closets at home, worshiping and coming into His presence? This is all a part of fulfilling our purpose. So that the presence of God can fill this place, so that souls will be saved, miracles will be wrought by the hand of God, and marriages and relationships and people that are backslid will be restored to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all. What does all mean? It means all. With everything within you. Well, I'll give him this part, but I'm hanging on to this. That's not all. And if that's what you're doing, you have not surrendered your life unto him. God is getting serious. Because we don't have much time left. I would much rather preach a sermon where everybody's hooping and hollering and running around the building and dancing. But God is not playing games anymore. It's time for us to obey him. And not to mock him anymore. Not to mock him anymore. We can't do it. There's no more time for games in the body of Christ. More specifically in Word of Life Church. It's time for you to get planted, and it's time for you to grow, your roots to go deep. And the only way that's going to happen is for you to be in church under the sound of the Word of God and obey what God says for you to do. I don't care how you feel. You can't go by feelings. When Jesus returns and you're left here, how are you going to feel then? Time for us to surrender all. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, the Lord's desire for every one of us is to die to self, to abandon our will, and to have a passion for the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his desire. We can no longer deprive our relationship. We can no longer deprive our worship with him. We have got to spend quality time with Jesus. We must learn how to worship him on a daily basis, every day, all day, if we're going to fulfill the purpose that he has in our lives, and if we're going to fulfill the purpose that he has for this church. Amen? So with every head bowed, my first question is, if there is anyone in here that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you have never accepted him into your heart, but today is a day of surrender for you, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anyone at all that has never accepted Jesus as their Lord? Would you raise your hand? Second question is there anyone in here that loves God? You've accepted him, but you have never surrendered all to him. There's still a part of self that you're hanging on to for whatever reason, that you think God can't handle it, or this is my little pet peeve, whatever it is. Time to let it go. Is there anyone at all? I want you to stand. If there's anyone at all, would you please stand? If you raise your hand, would you please stand? Is there anyone at all? Would you please stand? Where you are, would you please stand? Is there anyone else who has never surrendered all? That means everything. Everything within you. I want you to come to the front now. Those who are standing, if you would come to the front. You know, it's time to lay things down at the feet of Jesus. It's time to lay things down at the foot of the cross. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows what you're hanging on to. And he is saying, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I can handle it. And you can be free. But not until you do that. Not until you surrender that. Can God continue to take you into places that he wants to take you into his presence? Amen? So I'm going to pray for you that you leave it at the foot of the cross today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this one. I thank you that she is surrendering all in Jesus' name.
I thank you, Lord, that she has surrendered all in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that she has surrendered everything, all, her whole being unto you in Jesus' name. I thank you that she has surrendered all unto you now in Jesus' name. All care, all worry, all doubt, all unbelief, everything, Lord God. I thank you that she has put it at the foot of the cross, never to take it up again. I thank you, Lord God, that she surrendered all unto you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that this one has a love for you. And I thank you, Lord God, that she is surrendering to you right now. All in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for this one, that she has surrendered all. No more games. No more games. Be who I have called you to be. In this hour, I will not be mocked. It is time, I says the Lord God Almighty, for you to surrender everything and to not look back. A new day, a new dawn, a new beginning. No more games. I thank you, Lord God, for my sister. I thank you that she has surrendered all unto you now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this one, that he has surrendered all unto you now. And we give you praise and we give you glory for it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. And that this is a church, Father God, that's going to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we are going to fulfill our purpose in this place. I pray, Lord God, for every one of us to have a thirst and a hunger for you like never before. And Father, according to your word, that is going to come when we spend time with you in your presence and to fellowship and to come into a very intimate relationship with you. I give you praise and I give you glory for all that you're doing. And all the victorious saints said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, we're going to... I started to say finish. We're not going to finish, but we're going to go to another phase, fulfilling your purpose, fellowship. And how that's a part of us going where we are headed in this body. Amen? I love you. I really do. I love you. I really do, but things are burning on the inside of me. I used to ask Pastor, why can't I be nice? Why can't I just deliver a nice little message that everything is fine. We're all going to go to heaven and all is well. I guess because he chose me to be the hard one because he knew I'd do it. I don't know. I'm just trying to obey God. Amen. And I do love you. I so want God's best for us. I want his will more than anything. I do. I want his will in your life and in my life, in the life of his church, more than I want anything else. I just want his will. And I know through prophecy and through his voice what his will is for us. But it's not going to happen without a price to be paid. Are we willing? If you're willing to pay that price, I want you to stand as we dismiss. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this congregation. How I love them, Lord, and how I've so appreciated them over the years. And Father, I thank you and praise you that you're doing a work in every one of our lives. I pray, Lord God, that they would know and understand when I preach like this, that I preach to me, that in preparation, it's been to me too. So, Father, I thank you that you're going to take us to a place that we have yet to know and that we have yet to go. But as we worship you, we will help to fulfill our purpose in life. I give you praise and glory for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you do not want to miss tonight, come back and hear about fellowship. God bless you.